Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hey, good morning. Every day you wake up is a good morning, I think. Today we have a guest, Tommy Moore. This man's a very special man. I've read his book, which I highly recommend, A Patriot in Happiness. From the great comedian, my professor of fun, comedian Tommy. Now, give a little back on the program. Okay, well, here's a little background info on him. Mr. Moore, on April 2nd, 1986, Tommy was told he might never stand on stage again. Since then, he's done over 3,500 shows, speeches, and seminars at comedy clubs, casinos, cruise ships, colleges, corporations, churches, synagogues, resorts, hotels, and on radio and TV. A true survivor, maybe the real last comic standing. And his new book, it just tells him a story on advice from comedy giants, nursed him back to physical and emotional health. So why don't we bring on Mr. Tommy Moore right now. Tommy, are you there? Here we go. Tom?
There we go.
I'm hearing him now.
Are we on?
We're on, Tommy, as they say.
We're on.
Is this thing on?
It's on. Is there anybody out there? Thank you for having me on the show, and thank you so much for the glowing review.
I love this book, Tommy. Congratulations. You have been picked my favorite feel-good read of 2012.
That's so nice. I mean, you actually put that on Amazon.com.
I put it on Barnes & Noble, too, Tommy.
I know. I'm going to have them bronzed. If I can get my computer screen bronzed, I'm going to have that bronzed. So thank you for having me on, and it's great. And, you know, it's funny. Nancy is so cute because I just met her about a week ago, and she sends me emails that say, Dear Doctor, because the book is called The PhD in Happiness. You don't have to call me doctor. Professor,
oh, no, it's a doctor thing.
No, professor is okay. You know, no, Tommy's good. I'm a comedian. Just call me Tommy. Although I was a professor for 5 years. For 5 years, I taught comedy at Temple University.
Well, that's why I called you Dr. Feelgood.
There you go. That's a good thing, too. But
so, let's go back a little bit for people who don't know you. Now, that was just a little bit of a teaser, but let's start with, and then we'll move forward, from in 1986, what happened?
Oh, in 1986, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was in the middle of a robbery, and luckily the guy who was doing the robbing didn't have a gun, but he did have an iron pipe. So he hit me on the head 8 or 9 times with the pipe. I say 8 or 9 because after 7, you stop counting. And he put a gag in my mouth, and he tied my hands behind my back and tied a noose around my neck, and he locked me in a room and left me for dead. The last thing he said, though, before he locked me in a room, he looked down and said, don't try anything funny. Now, I had been a comedian and comedy magician my whole life. Never tell a comedian not to be funny. And tying up a magician just serves as a challenge. Ask Houdini, all right? So luckily, I got myself out of the bonds. I kicked down the door, went to the hospital. They sewed me back up like the scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz. And in the hospital, I literally had a police guard on my door because I was an important witness because this guy had killed a few people that week. I was luckily the only one who survived, luckily for me and luckily for them. But I laid in that bed, and I was in casts from head to toe, but I was lucky because every friend I had was a comedian because I had been a comedian at that point for 20 years. And they all came to visit me, and they all made me laugh. As a matter of fact, usually in a comedy club situation, the people are lined up to see the comedian. Here, the comedians were lined up to see me. And the guy in the next bed should have paid a cover charge. But there was laughter around my bed 24/7, and that's when I realized how important laughter is.
And it's amazing from that, because in this book, and, you know, if you're thinking you're just buying another comedy book, you're not. It is really, I've said, forget the secret. Get this book.
Thank you.
Truly an inspiring book of coming back and even your fight for survival And I'm not going to give it much away, but that even in all your the horror that you were in, your first thought was not really for yourself. It was that you were afraid your wife was going to come back, and you were more afraid for somebody else than yourself, and you're in the worst possible condition there is.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I was so touched by that.
Oh, you know, I mean, I was laying there, and two things went through my head. Number one, that my wife was going to come back, and who knows, the robber might be there, and who knows what he might do. I said, I have to get out of the situation to protect her. And number two, I was thinking, I have a show Saturday night, and I can't miss it.
In true comedian fashion, because that's how we think. What about my show, first thing?
Exactly. And the funny thing is, when I'm laying in the bed in the hospital, there was one...
Tell them what they said to you, what the doctor said.
One comedy club owner and one doctor said, you may never stand on a stage again. And I said to myself, you want to bet? And 4 days later, when I was supposed to do the show at LaSalle University, I did that show. In head-to-toe bandages, I did the show. I mean, I booked three other comedians with me because I knew I couldn't stand on stage for 40 minutes. I could just about stand. But they literally carried me from the car to the show, to the stage. I walked on. I did 15 minutes about doctors and hospitals because I was in casts and bandages. And after the show, kids from LaSalle came back and they thought it was a gimmick. They didn't think the bandages were real. They thought it was just a show business thing. I said, no, this is real, because they introduced me from the emergency ward, Tommy Moore.
Oh, my gosh. And that's the other part of this book that I truly love, Tommy, is that how your friends came to you, just came to your rescue, just phenomenal, just that they were all there for you, they were whatever they could do, that the comedian camaraderie that surrounded
oh, yeah.
you must be such a loved person to do that. And, by the way, I got to mention, we have another radio show listening to us right now.
Great.
Yes, we have Confessions of a Movie Addict. I got it right, Betty Jo Tucker. Betty Jo Tucker, who interviews a lot of celebrities. Betty, you're going to love this show, because now we're going to go into how Tommy went out there and got these inspirational quotes from comedians. But first, Tommy, in the front of your book, okay, you have some biblical phrases.
The
very front, you start your book with about comedy.
Yeah.
Could you read me a couple of those?
Okay.
You can find it.
It's funny how important laughter is. I mean, in the Bible, in the Talmud, and this is a great story, in the Talmud, Elijah is walking through the marketplace, and somebody says to him, who here is worthy of heaven's gate? And he looks around and he says, only those two. And they said, what have those two people done to be worthy of heaven? And he said, they're comedians. When they see people who are sad or depressed, they tell them jokes and they make them laugh. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, that's in the Talmud. It's so wonderful. And laughter is so important.
And it's in the Bible as well, too. I love that joke, by the way. But it's in the Bible.
In the Bible, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, Bill Cosby said you can turn a painful situation around through laughter. There's a Chinese proverb that says, one joy scatters 100 fears. And there's a Jewish proverb that says, when you're hungry, sing, and when you're hurting, laugh. You know, but my favorite may be from comedian Minnie Pearl, who said, laughter is God's hand on the shoulder of a weary world.
It's so true. And also, I love that quote you used, Minnie Pearl. I had always attributed it to her, but now she attributed it to somebody else. And the best advice you could give a comedian was to?
To go out there and love them, and they'll love you back.
And that's a terrific... that's a terrific secret for anyone, that's anything you do, or if you have to stand up and speak. Just love who you're talking to, and you'll get that back. Now, tell us about how you got all these celebrities to get these quotes.
Well, luckily,
knew them? You worked with them? How did this come
about? I knew
them.
I've been in show business for 40 years, and between being a comedian and a comedy club owner and having written a comedy newspaper article for 11 of those years, I probably talked to every comedian or met every comedian or worked with every comedian that ever was. I mean, I thank God every day that in 40 years in show business, I got to meet and work with the legends. I mean, I'm talking about people like Jay Leno and Bob Hope and Jerry Lewis and Milton Berle and George Burns. And they taught me show business lessons that I realized translated very easily into real life lessons. And that's what the book's about. I mean, I've got lessons in there about faith and finding yourself and worry and fear and hate and forgiveness and hope and gratitude and love and joy and following your dreams and eliminating negativity. I was a very negative person before this thing happened. I mean, you know that story about if there's a glass of milk and it's half full. If you see it half full, you're an optimist. If you see it half empty, you're a pessimist. Well, I would see a potentially spilled glass of milk with jagged pieces of glass on the floor that I would walk on, cut my foot, get lockjaw, tetanus, and die. That's how negative I was.
The extreme. Whereas I am an optimistic pessimist. I will buy a lottery ticket and never see if I won.
There you go. But, see,
but it's true,
journey,
and you do that too with that. And then so you came and you said, well, let me, now you're back on stage, and I believe you have you booked a club. Is it Philadelphia?
Oh, lots of clubs. I booked hundreds of clubs.
Yeah, so you're booking clubs, and then you started to realize that there was a little bit of wisdom in all these comedians that you knew. And how did you start to put this book together?
I put people ask how long did it take you to write the book. I literally wrote one chapter a night for 45 nights. It took me a month and a half. Chapters just flowed out of me like they were the way I thought, you know. But somebody once asked, Ernest Hemingway, how long did it take you to write a book? He said, either 6 months or the whole rest of my life up until now. You know, it was everything I had experienced and all the great advice I got that saved my life emotionally and physically. And I tried.
And it's true, but it's not just that. The quotes in there are very good. I'm trying to think of one that, what was the, do you remember, I know you worked on this book, I can't find the page exact. There was a George Burns one, maybe towards the back of the book?
Yeah, well, George Burns said to me, one of the things, I gave George Burns two chapters in the book. But
yes,
one
164 I'm looking at.
Well, I don't even have to look at the book, it's all in my head.
I know.
But one of the things he said to me was, in show business, when you go to a theater, get to know the manager. Get on the manager's good side, because the manager can do a lot for you. Manager can smooth out some problems. The manager can forgive some flaws. The manager can do a lot. Now, people call God a lot of different things. There are 100 different religions, and they all have different names for God, whether it's the force or the prime mover. I like to call God the manager. And if you get on the manager's good side, the manager can help you out a lot.
Yeah.
I don't get really religious in the book, but I do get spiritual because I believe in God. And I know some people don't, and that's fine. I'm just talking about God from a biographical standpoint, you know. But I believe in God, and there are real reasons why. And it's not because somebody told me or because I read
it in the book.
No, you
mentioned that in your book, and it's not in a I don't want to mislead people. It's not in a pragmatic way that he's saying it. He's saying when Tommy talks about his connection to his religious and spiritual side, it's about how it works for him. It's in total respect for every other religion, but how it works for him and how, yeah, you know, I'm with you, Tommy, that things happen and you go, wow, that's so cool. And I'm not going to give it away because there was a really cool thing that happened in the book, but they have to buy the book if they want to find out what it is. And where can they get that book, Tommy?
They can get it on Amazon.com or they can get it on Kindle. And the best way, if you go on Amazon.com, even though it's called the PhD in Happiness from the Great Comedians, if you put the period in the wrong place with PhD, it won't come up. If you just put Happiness Tommy Moore in the search engine of Amazon.com, you can get it as paperback or you can get it as Kindle.
That's terrific. And do you have a website? Can they go directly to your website?
Yeah, the website is profcomedy.com. That's P-R-O-F as in professor. comedy.com, and they can go to my website and see all the different things I've done.
Well, that's true, too. Let's talk about that, Tommy. So, first off, I'm going to always go back to the book because I really do think this is a terrific book to buy for your friends. This is a terrific book. I had a friend on recently, Carol Schiavelli, who wrote a book called Poor Widow Me, and that's for when you don't know what to say to somebody who's lost someone, and that was really, Carol Schiavelli's book, Poor Widow Me, very good, and she's got a blog, but it's helpful. I found your book, if I had a depressed friend, or a friend who is questioning things or just couldn't go on, this would be the book I would buy for them. And
thank
say,
you
read
so
this
much.
Book. Read this book. There's so many inspirational quotes. Do you have any favorites in there?
I guess my favorite inspirational quote, we were talking about, you know, loving what you do. Uncle Dirty, who was a comedian from the 60s, who worked with everybody from George Carlin to Richard Pryor, Uncle Dirty used to say in his act, in life, not to be loved is miserable, but not to love is a tragedy. You got to go out there and love people. You got to go out there, whether they love you back or not. I saw something just last week. It said, I won't spend time hating the people who hate me. I'm too busy loving the people who love me.
Yeah.
Love is such an important thing. Love gives you happiness. If you give out love, you get it back. And it's happiness, and that's what the whole book is about, is happiness. The three things I wanted to do in the book were, number one, make people happier. Number two, pass along the advice that I got from 50 comedians that literally saved my life emotionally and physically. And number three...
And financially at one point.
And financially, oh yeah. But number three, make people aware of the legends of comedy from a past generation, because comedians from that generation were simpler and happier and more fun. Some of today's comedians are angry and cynical and
bitter.
Right,
and you talk about that. Life is stage on the stage's choices. And by the way, I want to take a moment to mention, you said comedians from the past. I just want to plug, I don't know, you may know him, George Bettinger.
Okay, yeah.
But if not, you should be on his show. Anyway, he does all comedians from his past on the Mom and Pop Shop on www.hotmix106.com every day at 4. I'm going to mention
great.
Him to you, too, because I think you should do his show. And but he's another one, and he does the old comedians really. And don't you find, Tommy, that the older comedians are not, I'm not saying old comedians, but the true comedians researched their profession,
studied their profession?
It.
Absolutely. They watched everybody that came before. They watched the vaudevillians. They watched the burlesque comics. You know, people like Kenny Youngman and Milton Berle and Jack Benny and Jerry Lewis sat in the wings in vaudeville and burlesque and watched everything and learned every trick, and they learned how to have fun with an audience. You know, the strange thing is the essence of the word funny is fun, and the old line comedians knew how to have fun. Today's comedians can be angry and cynical and bitter, but the older guys knew how to have fun, and I really think that, you know, that's why they call me the professor of fun. I think that when you see a comedian, you should walk out of the show saying, wow, I had fun.
It's true. And I like, too, what you said, that you didn't surround yourself with the negative comedians. The comedians you knew, if they had a ball joke, they'd give it to you. Or they go, hey, I got a fat joke. You should use it. And you don't find that these days. They're not as giving. They're more nervous about, you're going on before me, and you're funnier, so I want to go on first. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you shouldn't worry about competing with other people. Just go out there and do your thing, be your best, have fun, and the audience will have fun back. You said an interesting word. You said, you know, sharing. Sharing is so much of importance when it comes to happiness, because when you share, okay, the story I tell in the book, and I'll tell this. There was a great story that I watched one night when you're bleary-eyed. Remember when TV used to go off? Now it's on like 27 hours a day. But, hello?
No, that's how it used to go off.
Yeah, Connell Rad. But anyway, a preacher came on right at the end of the day, and he told this story, and I love this story, and that's why I put it in the book. He said, a man dies, and he goes to a place he knows not where. And an angel takes him into a room, and it's a gorgeous banquet room with a big buffet with every kind of sumptuous food you could imagine. And two giant doors open, and a bell rings. And in come scrawny, emaciated people. And the guy says, I thought this was heaven. And the angel said, no, this is hell. And he said, I don't understand. And the people come in, and they're angry, and they're bitter, and they're gnashing their teeth. And they don't eat. They don't eat any of the food. And the guy says to the angel, why aren't they eating? And the angel said, well, their elbows don't bend. So when they try to pick up the food and put it to their mouth, they can't feed themselves. So So they just stand there and curse the situation, and that's why it's hell. The guy said, wow. Now the angel takes him to another room, and it's the same exact room with the same buffet and the same gold doors and the bell rings, and in come fat, happy people. And he said, this is heaven. And the guy said, oh, I understand. In heaven, their elbows bend. And the angel said, no, in heaven, the elbows don't bend either. But when they sat down at the table and realized they couldn't feed themselves, they reached across the table and fed each other. That's
yes.
the best definition of heaven I ever heard.
That's terrific. And it's so, your book, too, you can go to his website. And say your website again, it's
profcomedy.com. Or if you can't find that, just, you know, Google Tommy Moore comedian and you'll get to it.
And
they call me the professor of fun, which is why it's prof comedy.
Talk about your corporate work, Tommy.
I used to teach how to relieve stress through humor, and I did it at AT&T and DuPont and IBM and American Express and all these big companies. And it's funny because I started doing that because right out of college, which I went to please my parents, I knew I was going to be a comedian from like day three. But I was a teacher for like 5 minutes, and I realized, you know, teaching grammar school, that if I could keep kids interested for 5 hours a day, it'd be a breeze to keep adults interested for an hour and making them laugh. And I have such respect for real teachers who teach 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, because when I did it, it made me crazy. Kids will make you crazy, you know that. Like, I taught arithmetic, and I said to one little kid, if you had 50 apples in one hand and 50 apples in the other hand, what would you have? He said, very big hands.
Big hands.
They'll make you crazy. I said to one kid, if you had $5 and you asked your father for $5, how much would you have? He said, $5. I said, you don't know your arithmetic. He said, you don't know my father. They'll make you crazy, little kid. I taught history. I said to one little kid, do you realize when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he walked 5 miles a day to borrow a book? Kid said, yeah. Now, on his birthday, they closed the libraries.
Oh, they write the jokes for you.
They write the jokes for you. It's true.
Hey, the chat room has a question. Okay.
Let
me go here. I got to get this chat room. Okay, we have from Movie Attic Headquarters. That's the other radio show. Tomorrow, you can listen to that Tuesdays on Blog Talk Radio, Movie Attic Headquarters. She said, who is the funniest comedian Tommy met in person?
Old school Buddy Hackett, new school Robin Williams.
Well, interesting you said old school, new school. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll tell you the Robin Williams story, true story. We had this comedy club, a little side street, and every week we would worry about, you know, are we going to make the budget? Are we going to be able to pay the comedians? Well, 1 week we were sold out. We were thrilled. We were going to make money that week. What could be better than that? We found out. All of a sudden the car pulls up, a guy gets out and says, can we buy 4 tickets? We said, we're sorry, we're sold out. He goes back to the car. And then he comes back to us and says, my friend in the car said that if you let us in, he'll do a free show for you. And we said, who's your friend? And they said, Robin Williams. We let them in, okay? Robin Williams said, hide me in a side room because if people see me, the show's over. Everybody's going to look at me and nobody's going to look at the show. We were amazed that Robin Williams was going to do a free show for us because, you know, we were tight on budget and there's no way we could have afforded. I mean, he said, don't worry, that's not what it's about. It's about having fun and applying your craft and going on stage and doing it. And it made me think of a story when I was so concerned with money. This was like 35 years ago when I was a starving comedian. And I'm going to a job in North Jersey at a Jewish senior citizen community center. And I'm in a broken down car with a duct tape door, and it's 95 degrees out, and I don't have air conditioning. And I'm saying to myself, what am I doing with my life? I'm not making a lot of money here. Most of the money is going to be eaten up with road expenses and then gas and tolls. What am I doing? And then I got there, and I look at these seniors, and they'd seen the greatest comedians in the world in their life, and they're looking at me like, who's this guy? And I said, oh, I'm going to bomb. It's going to be horrible. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my life? I got on stage, and they started to laugh. And they laughed really good. And at the end, they gave me my first ever standing ovation. And I looked at two guys in the front who were in short sleeves. And I saw on their arms tattooed numbers. And I knew what that meant. They were survivors of the death camps. And I said to myself, all of a sudden, nothing matters. The money doesn't matter. The applause doesn't matter. The laughter doesn't matter. If I can make people who went through such horror be happy for an hour, I know what I'm doing with my life.
And that's what you talk about in your book, too. Another, I know people don't believe I read every book that I do, but I do. I like that the part you said about savoring.
Jack Benny once said to George Burns, and George Burns told me this. He said Jack Benny once came to him and said, George, I just had the greatest glass of water I ever had in my life. And George Burns was waiting for a punchline, but that was it. Jack Benny was just savoring a glass of water. And I thought to myself, if we could do that with any simple little thing, I mean, think about your senses, you know, sight, sound, hearing, taste, smell, touch. A lot of people don't have all those senses. But if you have one or more, use them. See what you could see, hear what you could hear, taste what you can taste, touch what you can touch, feel what you can feel, and enjoy every minute because it's there for you to savor. If you can savor as simple as thing as a glass of water, you can give yourself so much happiness in life that most people take for granted. And by the way, I got to say something. You told me about happiness. I found out through Facebook last week was your birthday.
Oh.
So happy birthday.
Thank you.
And it's funny how happy is so important in our culture. Think about it. In the Constitution, it says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's how important happiness is.
Well, that's
Remember
that's
Tony
part of
Fields?
Savoring.
What?
Yes, yes. You have a quote. That's part of savoring. And Betty Jo Tucker, the other radio show, I love her show, every Tuesday.
Okay.
Betty Jo Tucker said, if we can bring a little joy into your humdrum lives, then we know all our hard work ain't been in vain for nothing. That's Gene Hagen in Singing in the Rain.
That's true. That's
ain't
true.
Ain't been for nothing.
That's right. And, yeah, I mean, Gene Hagen was later in the Danny Thomas TV show. He was his first. She was his first wife, and she was a very funny comedian. You know who else is very funny? Remember Toadie Fields?
Oh, I love Toadie Fields.
God bless. She talked about happiness. She had some great lines about happiness. She said,
"Oh, she did, especially since with her, she lost her leg, and she continued to perform and make fun of it." And
she said, you have to look for happiness. She said, happiness is different things to different people. She said, to me, happiness is getting a brown gravy stain on a brown dress. You know, she said, happiness is opening up a diet book and seeing that a banana cream pie is 7 calories and a hunk of lettuce is 2,000. She said, happiness is driving down the street and watching the guy who cut you off a mile back getting pulled over by a state trooper.
Well, that's justice. It is. It's so true. And, George, we're down to our last minute. So, everyone, you could go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, The Professor of Fun, or Funny, Tommy Moore. Google that. Go right to his website. Go ahead.
Happiness Tommy Moore. If you put in Happiness Tommy Moore, you'll get to it.
Or www.profcomedy.com, profcomedy.com. I highly recommend this book. George, you've been a great guest. It's you've got 90 seconds, according to that English lady. And and it's been great. And this book it's got some great funny stuff in it, too. And he fools you because he gets serious, then he gives you some laughs. Then he talks about life, then he gives you some laughs. And I love, real briefly, how there's a story to look for, the Pat Paulson story. I'm not going to give it away, but it talks about all about believing in yourself and being an entrepreneur and how it can change your life. And this book is a life-changing book, so get it, A PhD in Happiness from the Great Comedians. All right,
George.
Thank
you so much.
Why am I saying George? Tommy. All right, Tommy.
You've got George Burns on your mind.
I do have George Burns on my mind. He's always on my mind. I love George Burns.
Wonderful.
A true inspiration there. And thank you again. And actually, why don't we leave on George Burns? I think it was 164.
Well, let me leave on one other thing, because this is the way I end every show I do, and this is my favorite quote. I say to people, you know, today we've had some music because I do sing along, and we've had some magic because I do goofy magic tricks that don't work, and we have some laughs. I said, if you remember nothing else, please remember this. There's more music in the fact that the waves lap up on the shore than in all the songs ever sung. There's more magic in the fact that the stars light up the sky than in all the tricks ever invented. And there's more laughter in the funny, silly things we do every day than in all the jokes ever told. Learn to listen for the music. Learn to look for the magic. Learn to hear the laughter. And every day you'll have a ticket to the greatest show on earth, your life. God bless you.
God bless you, too, Tommy Moore. Get this book. It's an inspiration, and it's funny. The quotes are very good. You got somebody you want to pick them up? Buy this book. It's a terrific pick-me-up. All right, Tommy, thank you for being a guest today.
Thank you. It went so fast.
It did, Tommy, but that's because you're so funny. All right, Tommy. Have a good day. And tonight
you
I'll
too.
Be at the Pit, everyone, 8 p.m. if you're in the New York City area, 8 p.m. Thank you, the wonderful Tommy Moore, Dr.
Thank you.
Feelgood. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.